Rewind. I was just sitting here reflecting on how good of shape, is that how you say it? How good of shape I've been getting in.
That lately. Doesn't sound right, but I agree with you. I know what you mean.
Good of shape.
I think it's how
I've been getting in really good shape lately.
There you go.
I think my summer dad bod will be ready just in time for fall.
Yeah, just in time to put on the hoodies and wear the sweatpants.
Put on a sweater.
For 6 months.
Yeah. Because I finally perfected my fitness regimen. You want to hear it?
Sure.
So, see, what I do is I noom all my calories into the Zero Intermittent Fasting app, which helps me track my weekly keto carb loads. Then all I have to do is sync my Whoop strap to my Garmin, and so each step I take burns more macronutrients while I sit in a cold laser sauna. It's so easy, and it only costs you like $2,000 a year in subscription fees. It's great.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I just want to look my best, you know?
Like, honey, you look great.
Oh, thanks. But again, it'll be ready in time for fall. But like if we go to Hawaii again for Christmas like we did a few years back, I want to get in shape now. And I want to start growing my hair out so it's nice and long and stringy.
Sure.
So when I get on that plane, everybody takes notice, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure the flight will be safe and without incident. I'm sure it'll be great.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
I have the only gun on board.
Oh, no!
Welcome to Con Air.
Oh, no.
It was a long walk.
Hey, Angie and Jeff, what's up? Should have seen my face. I didn't know where we were going.
Hi is back. There's nothing better than a Craig T. Nelson enthusiastic hi. Yes, hi, hello, and welcome to Cruel to Rewind, the world's greatest underground Chicago-based movie podcast. I'm Jeff.
Hi, hello, I'm Angie.
We take turns showing each other favorite movies for the first time and possibly the last. And along the way, we share personal stories, we goof on pop culture, we get on some fun tangents, and we generally razz each other pretty good.
Awesome!
Will today's movie be cool or cruel to rewind? You'll have to keep listening to find out. Today we're watching My Choice from 1997, Con Air, starring Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, and John Malkovich. But before we do that, let's check in. I threw some time on our calendars just to touch base and level set before we establish table stakes for the quarter.
We'll circle back on all those things.
Yeah, let's circle back.
Okay.
Do you have time now to circle back?
Well, the circling back can be more strategic in a realignment of the meeting zone.
Oh, you wanted more synergy.
Yes.
Well, I'm a professional. I'm serious and I'm a professional.
While you circle back, I see.
Right.
Sorry, we're both
in
marketing.
And then deep dive into that circle. Deep dive. And fart in each other's mouths.
Oh, okay. That sounds productive.
Are you ready for the board meeting?
Low chops. Profit pyramid.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
I love 1997. I'm looking forward to talking about a movie in 1997.
Me too.
Because 1997 is when Middle of Nowhere came out, and it was just a special time in my life.
What's Middle of Nowhere?
Hanson's very first album.
Oh,
okay.
Of course. Oh,
1997.
God.
It's a special year.
It's a very special year. We've seen Hanson together, and it's been a blast.
Yes.
Several times.
Twice.
Twice, yeah. Is it only twice?
I think so.
Well, it was magical, especially the Christmas concert.
Yeah.
Guy can really play piano.
Yes, hi, hello. This is Karen, the Senior Vice President of Human Resources for Cruel to Rewind podcast. I just wanted to tell you that, if you expect any jokes about Hanson, or any hackneyed references to Umbop, you can go jump off a pier and fuck yourself on the way down. Thanks for listening. I love you. I am Karen.
Speaking of music.
Yes.
I have to talk about this. It'll make sense later, I promise. I played saxophone in front of people for the first time in a year and a half. It was for a funeral. It was for my late great Uncle Don. You know, he passed away during the pandemic and we couldn't get together to celebrate his life. So now as things open up, we finally could. I played Amazing Grace on the saxophone.
Real original.
And it was the first time playing sax in front of people. That's how I know I'm still a performer.
Yeah.
Because it's like before I played, it was all I could think about, even as I saw family members ushered in and, you know, saying hello to everyone. The minute I stopped performing, it freed me up to feel all the feelings. But if there was a little self-worth meter above my head, like in augmented reality or something, you would have seen that meter fill up to 100% after I got done playing. It felt really good.
Sounded like great.
Make music in some way, shape, or form.
It's not music. There's no melody. It's just tones. Just dark, ominous tones.
So, yeah, I talk a lot about how I am a musician or was a musician, so it's still important to me, and it's good to get back into it.
It's not a was, you are.
I like to say I'm dormant. I'm not retired or semi-retired. I'm just laying dormant. It could come back at any time.
That sounds good.
Queen Bees.
Yes.
What have been when? We doosh. What have we been watching?
What? Well, I personally have been watching Down Abbey.
Let's talk about it.
It's this show. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it takes place in the early 1900s. I don't know. I like to do some deep cuts. I'm not sure if people have heard of this show before, so I just want to make sure people know about it.
Yeah. I think it's quite popular.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty new. It came from now in 2010.
Oh, yeah.
It's very relevant
hot
right
and
now.
Fresh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But I it's a festival of depressing marriage proposals and cousin romance, but I am very much enjoying it.
But
it's very good.
I love it.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
What a be when?
We to be dosh.
My favorite part.
What?
What's the dad's name?
Robert.
Is it Robert?
Or Sir Grantham?
My favorite part is when Sir Grantham comes out and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, World War I has begun." And then later on in the season, "Everyone, gather around. World War I has ended." Everyone cheers.
Wow. That does not sound right.
Way to be dosh.
So what's your favorite part? I know you like Maggie Smith, right?
Yes. She hits you with some zingers. It's not a comedy show, obviously, but in her own 1900s royal British way. Are they royalty? No, they're like earls. I don't quite understand it all.
They're low on the totem pole of royalty, but they are, I believe, in some way.
But
royal.
In her way, she hits you with some zingers.
She does.
I find myself laughing out loud every once in a while.
She's so good.
Yeah. And you know what? She's still old, so.
Yeah. Yeah. She's always been old. From Hook until now.
Mm-hmm.
She's always been old. I always think she's Scottish because of Harry Potter, but she ain't. That's a piece of music that they would have played in the early 20th century at Downton Abbey. What else have we been watching? Nobody with Bob Odenkirk. So relieved that Mr. Odenkirk seems to be recovering after a heart attack on the set of Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
He seems to be.
This is very scary.
Okay.
Our journey with this movie was kind of strange. We wanted to see it because we love Bob Odenkirk.
Yes, we do.
And then we watched the preview a few weeks ago or something. And it felt like my mouth was still salty from how much I didn't like John Wick.
Yeah.
And then I thought, this just kind of looks like John Wick. I don't know if this is what I want to see. But then we watched the preview again, or the trailer again, and we're like, let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
like whatever. It's a different movie. Let's just watch it. And
Brother, I'm glad we did.
Yeah. It was it's what I wanted out of John Wick because
yeah.
I like the action movies where sure there can be guns, but also I want hand to hand combat and fighting and punches and like being scrappy and using yes. things around you when you don't have 8 guns on you to
exactly.
use.
Exactly.
And that's what nobody did for
yes.
me.
Yes. You get the full weight of what it takes to take down the human animal. Like people we're tough and fragile all at the same time. Like you see the damage from the fight on Bob Odenkirk's physique. Like
yeah.
he's bleeding out of his mouth. He's got to take a break. He runs out of breath. I'm thinking specifically of the bus fight scene, which mm-hmm. is one of the greatest fight scenes I've ever seen.
So satisfying.
Like he takes one pass through, has to whoop some ass. It goes pretty good. He takes his licks, but then gets thrown out a window and has to come through again with a knife and makes much shorter work of the goons.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And the background music is well done as well. So if you have bloodlust deep in your heart, give Nobody with Bob Odenkirk a try.
Ouchie.
I did want to revisit Dave on FXXX, the hip-hop comedy drama, just to say
yeah, but
comparing it to Flight of the Conchords is a very superficial connection. I realized later I said that just because Dave looks like Brett McKenzie a little bit. They have the same
yeah,
hair and facial hair.
A little bit.
Dave is just, it's very cinematic and sprawling and multifaceted. You go from watching Dave film a music video with a K-pop star in South Korea to being forced to move back into his parents' house. I mean, spoiler alert, I guess. And
go to a department store with them or the mall.
Yeah. Yeah. And just seeing how his parents, how 20 plus years of marriage has both eroded and strengthened their relationship in certain ways. And it's just, it's pretty deep. It cuts deep sometimes. And like you said, you made the point that it jumps ahead in time
mm-hmm.
frequently.
Yeah.
Like some of the great films do, like A Godfather 2 or A Deer Hunter. It just, it takes these leaps into the future, then back into the past, just these epic sweeps of time. So to compare it to Flight of the Conchords is not fair. And we still recommend it. Check it out. Dave on FXXXX.
What a be when?
We got voicemails.
Oh.
From none other, your favorite and mine, C2R superfan, Will. He called in. I have not listened to this. We're going to react to it in real time. We're going to see what's up.
Let's do it.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Angie. C2R superfan, Will. I listened to the My Girl episode.
Cool.
I gotta say, I was pretty flabbergasted at the Rotten Tomatoes score, and it was like 50, I think it was 53% for the critics.
Too low.
It was harsh.
And I think you guys should have been madder about that. You guys should have been more angry. That's my biggest criticism, really.
He's criticizing our anger?
You just should have been a little more livid about that. That's pretty insane. It makes me wonder, I kind of want to go back and read some of those. Was it just at the time?
Drop a report for us.
Like, I feel like I thought everyone loved that movie. So, anyway, just, yeah, should have been a little more pissed off.
That's fair.
You posited the question during the episode of whether it's better or worse to be like hyper aware of death, like little Anna Chlumsky was. And it's something I think about a lot. I think though, it's my vote is for it's good. Although, you know, being a kid makes it a little different, especially if you're father is a, you know, Dan Aykroyd, he's not paying attention to you, that's a problem. But that's less about the death and more about, and you know, the father, you know, not being emotionally available or present for his child. But I think, I mean, I think back, I went to a lot of funerals as a kid, you know. I think I have friends who didn't really go to many still at all. You know, they've only been to a few. Whereas, like, you know, if somebody died, we went.
You're at the gas station?
So, and I think, like, I had a friend who, it's a long story, and I'll try and sum it up quickly, but basically she posted this thing about, she's divorced. She's, you know, in her early, she's like 30 and got divorced a few years ago. So it was about being divorced in New York City, and somebody asked her a question, you know, like, hey, I just got divorced too. This will make sense in a minute. I just got divorced too. I feel like I'm going to be alone forever. What advice do you have?
And her
advice was to, like, that, you know, to really just embrace, like, the feeling and that she was going to be alone forever. And then it was like, she could make, it was like, you know what? Now I can say, okay, if I'm going to be alone forever, what do I want my life to look like? I want, you know, what color do I want my walls to be? You know, where do I want to live? Where do I want to...
Oh, sorry. Up against the time limit. Thanks for playing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I guess he
did. He call back?
He did call back.
He always calls back.
All right, just a second.
Hey, is there a way to make it look like so I can leave longer messages? I could cut it. Like, that one felt really short. Did you turn it down to like...
No!
Or something? That felt really quick. Anyway.
I have no idea. You
edit
what
out from the first
about.
Part where I said you guys did good. Feel free.
I said no!
So, yeah, so she's, you know, she's like, embrace. She said, you know, you just gotta, like, say, okay, I'm gonna be alone forever. And, but that gave her then the freedom to, like, live her life and say, I'm gonna do exactly what I want to do because it's just gonna be me. And then that, then in turn, you know, kind of opened things up, and she has now found somebody else who fits into that life because she's
this?
So aggressive
and
made
know.
Her own.
So I lost it.
And I almost think I just listened to the episode and I just kind of like put that together. And like, if you have, can fully embrace that, like, it's gonna, you know, that death is down here for you and everybody, then you can kind of, that allows you to kind of like put the energy into making your time here exactly what you want it to be, you know.
Seize the day. He could have said
so
that in three words.
Damn, you know, that's what I think about that. Anyway, yeah, good episode. Enjoyed it. Keep it up.
I don't know what he just said.
Take the fucking wax out of your ears.
I'm sorry. I will next time. I'm sure somebody listening got a lot out of that. Thanks for calling C2R Superfan, Will. We love it when you call.
Save it for your own podcast.
You are the sweetest man.
And thank you to C2R Superfan, Will, for having me on his podcast.
Yes.
We lost a
Speaking
good one.
Of, yes.
Got to took tika boot. Tik.
Go Got to tika boot. Got to tika boot.
Got to tika boot my dead dad.
Don't you love it?
What?
I didn't understand a one word you said.
I got to talk about my late father, Richard Mazur.
Don't you love it?
No, his name's Bill.
Bill!
He died. He's a dead now.
Oh, it's a great premise for a podcast. Very cathartic, just talking about people you've lost and what happens in the wake of that loss and making it interesting and fun and therapeutic. So thanks, Will, for having me on. All right. We digress a bunch. Shall we talk about today's movie?
I'm ready for some action.
Are you ready for Con Air?
Yes.
Some roundhouse kicks to the face?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to the trailer.
He's a U.S. Ranger. Highly decorated. Did a little hell raising when he was a kid, but nothing serious. He's defending his wife. Got in a drunken brawl. And he killed a guy. Could have happened to you or me.
After serving the last of his sentence, Cameron Poe is taking the first plane home to his wife and daughter.
Today's flight is a special one. We're populating Louisiana's Felton Penitentiary. These guys are the worst of the worst.
I see a lot of celebrities among us. I see 11 Primetime Lives, 3 Regis and Kathy Lee's, and a genuine 2020 interviewee.
What you looking at, punk?
Nothing, I was just admiring your cage.
But one wrong flight.
Stewardess, what's the in-flight movie today?
Can ruin your whole day.
Welcome to Con Air.
Jailbird 1, you are not cleared for takeoff.
And nobody on this aircraft gives a flying.
Hey. The issue here is how the plane is brought down.
Shoot it down.
There are innocent people up there.
He's got a little girl to come home to. He's been waiting for this day for 8 years.
What are you going to do?
What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to save the day.
It's time. Experience what critics call explosive, high-energy action.
Isn't that your car?
A pure adrenaline rush.
Got the whole world in his hand.
From Jerry Bruckheimer, the producer of The Rock, Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, John Malkovich.
Where are they going to land this thing?
How do you feel about the blackjack tables?
Get ready and buckle up.
Hold on to your dick.
Con Air, directed by Simon West.
Thank you, and have a pleasant flight.
Oh, stewardess, what's the in-flight movie today?
Yeah. Former war hero Cameron Poe, played by Nicolas Cage, is sentenced to 8 years in prison when he accidentally kills a man in a barroom brawl while defending his pregnant wife. When his release comes through, he's eager to see the daughter he's never met. However, Poe's original flight is delayed, so he's put aboard a flight transporting 10 of the most dangerous men in the American penal system to a new high-security facility. One of the criminals, Cyrus the Virus Grissom, played by John Malkovich, is a serial killer, an insane genius who has hatched a diabolical plot. With the help of several other hoods, including Diamond Dog, Johnny 23, and Garland Green, Cyrus and his men will hijack the plane and fly to a neutral nation where they can live as free men. Poe finds himself stuck in the middle. He has to find a way to get home, keep himself alive, look after his cellmate, Baby O. I've never seen that name in print before, and it's weird. Baby O. Baby hyphen O, who will die without proper medicine, and try to help the cops on the ground, including Agent Vince Larkin, played, of course, by John Cusack. This is producer Jerry Bruckheimer's first film after the death of his partner, Don Simpson. And Con Air shows that he learned how to assemble the formula all by himself, with plenty of action, stunts, and special effects, and not a lot of story to get in the way. Ouch.
Ooh.
Sideswipe at the end there.
Yeah.
This is from allmovie.com, one of my favorite resources. We did not take a stab at Don Simpson there at the end. Fun facts. We got them.
Tell me all the fun facts.
So Rotten Tomatoes, it was 66% among critics, 75% among the audience, among the dullards like you and me. Just kidding.
You are an inferior species, you dumb dork.
Yeah, this was nominated for 2 Oscars, Best Sound and Best Original Song. Of course, How Do I Live?
Okay, I'm not going to sing.
Beautiful. That's great. Performed by Trisha Yearwood. I think it would later become even more famous, done by Leanne Rimes.
Yeah, that's the one I remember for sure.
Yeah.
And did it win?
It did not win. It lost both to Titanic.
Oh, so Titanic, yeah, yes.
Unstoppable.
Everything lost to Titanic in 1997.
Yeah. We haven't checked in with Roger Ebert in a while.
Yeah.
He gave it 3 out of 4 stars.
Okay.
That's a firm thumbs up.
And that's more than 66%.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he liked it, but he also says, This is a big cast, but easy to keep straight because everyone is typecast and never does anything out of character. All right. The movie is a solo production by Jerry Bruckheimer, who, with his late partner Don Simpson, masterminded a series of high-tech special effects extravaganzas like Beverly Hills Cop, Top Gun, Days of Thunder, and so on. Con Air is in the same vein, but with less of the dogged seriousness of many action pictures and more of the self-kidding humor of The Rock.
Okay.
This is a movie that knows it is absurd and does little to deny it.
Well, at least... So I can kind of see why he liked it, because it wasn't trying to be something it wasn't.
It only cares about being fun.
Huh.
And we'll touch on this a little bit. It's like this movie's idea of fun is a little... hasn't aged well in every way, but what does? One last fun fact. I knew nothing about the director going into this, Simon West. I'd never heard of him.
Yeah, me neither.
But after some cursory research, I didn't dig too deep. I should have handed it off to Tran and Mackenzie, our research interns, but I just didn't think of that. I discovered Simon West is nothing short of pop culture royalty.
Interesting.
So, okay, he directed this movie and Tomb Raider in 2001. Big whoop. But his biggest contribution to the world is making the video for Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up. So here's to you, Simon. You Rickrolled us all. You are pop culture royalty.
Good one. We're no strangers to love. You know the rules, and so do I. A full commitment's what I'm thinking of.
You wouldn't get this far. Oh, my God. I want to know what you're expecting from this movie. Any expectations?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm the biggest Nicolas Cage fan, but you know, listeners know, I love a good action movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to a good 90s action film.
You ready to see things explode?
Yeah. Okay. And based on Ebert's review, self-kidding humor. Mm-hmm. You know, people aren't going too far from their character. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mind a simple movie that's sure. just is what it is. I enjoy that. So I think I'm hoping I like this one.
Cool.
I'm excited.
Okay.
Let's go watch.
Let's go watch Con Air.
So what was that all about?
Oh, nothing. Except they somehow managed to get every creeping freak in the universe onto this one plane. And then somehow managed to let them take it over. And then somehow managed to stick us right smack in the middle.
Shit.
See, I knew I was right about you. I read your file. You're not such a bad guy, just always in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Goodbye, Larkin.
I spoke to your wife.
In person?
In person. And your little girl.
You saw Casey.
Uh-huh.
If you talk to my wife again, you tell her I love her.
My favorite.
She's my hummingbird.
Great Southern accents but of cinema.
I couldn't leave a fallen man behind.
My favorite.
He'll do that for me, won't you, Larkin?
Sure I will. What are you gonna do for me?
What do you think I'm gonna do? I'm gonna save the fucking day.
I feel like maybe I'm not supposed to make it.
You gonna make it.
You gonna make it.
You gonna make it. We gotta win this race. You gonna make it. He's doing Elvis.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently, supposedly he traveled to Alabama to get the Alabama accent, but he's doing Elvis. Well, we watched it. We watched Con Air from 1997, directed by Simone West, starring Nicolas Cage. What?
Why are you talking like that?
Knock it off.
What just happened? I blacked out for a second. This movie, there's no joke here, but this movie did make me aware of diabetes for the first time. When his friend needs his insulin.
Yeah.
I just thought it made you really sweaty when you didn't get your insulin. That's all I understood. So there's that.
Okay.
I time stamped this from 12:37, so 12 minutes and 37 seconds, to 12:48. It might be the manliest parade of imagery ever captured on celluloid. It's all the planes and the guns and the...
Oh,
You pointed it out.
I pointed this out and I was like, wait, no, you got to rewind that. It was like, yeah, it's a short period of time, but it just like the music's loud and you're getting like punched in the face with like the plane, the truck, what else happens? It's just like these five punches of like, this is a manly action movie.
Exactly. It's that militaristic,
yeah,
Jerry Bruckheimer style music with rock and guitar in the background and just the manliest things. You can't make a drop out of it, and I can't find the clip on YouTube to just pull it down. So just trust us. Just go to 12 minutes, 37 seconds. And just have a good time.
Okay.
So can we talk about the very beginning of the movie first?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot happens. There's a lot of letters with a lot of exposition.
Ugh. I got your package. Those pink coconut things have made me quite popular. Met a guy just the other day. Baby-o. He sure does love him.
So...
Oh, hang on.
Okay. My favorite.
He sure does love him.
Okay, so the first... what, like 10 minutes or so?
Yeah.
Maybe not even. It's less than 10 minutes. This is like the first 5 or 6 minutes. And I thought I was watching one of those SNL sketches that it's one of the reoccurring sketches they do with people where...
Letters during the war.
The one I'm thinking of most recently, John Mulaney, when he hosted in the last couple years, did one.
Yep.
Writing back and forth. And I thought, I was like, wait, oh wait, no, this is like a real action movie. This isn't a sketch. Right.
This isn't where the laughs come in.
Yeah.
Although it kind of is.
Dear Casey, hopefully this finds you still going to the first grade. School is very important.
Okay, why does he talk?
Dear Hummingbird, break out the fine china, chill the lemonade, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Cause this boy's coming home to his ladies, coming home forever.
Forever.
That's a lot of information to get in 30 seconds.
He sure does love him.
It goes on and on and he on. Sure does love I mean, him. I know it's just the first 5 or 6 minutes, but that, like the writing a letter, it goes on. It should be a minute tops, like a minute sketch, and it goes on for a very long time. And. I mean, it was funny.
It's exposition.
I don't think it meant to be, but...
Exposition and prison push-ups. That's what we see
and
hear. It's pretty incredible.
Okay. I just had to get past that. I was really worried.
I'm glad.
For those first 6 minutes. Like, oh, no.
School is very important.
He sounds like the dad in The Notebook.
School is very important.
Summer love.
Yeah.
Oh my God! We'll cut in Mr. Zatarain's, drop him in. Mr.
Zatarain's. Would you give us a moment, please? I'd like to talk to my dog. No, it's just some love. Zatarain's.
Jazzy flavor of Zatarain's.
So Jeff.
Yeah.
Lately, when we've been talking about movies that you share versus movies that I share, I kind of like to sum up my movie in like three takes or three themes.
Yes.
You have been choosing a word of the movie.
Yes.
So did you think of a word for this movie?
I'm glad you asked, because I did think of a word, and I think it's really going to resonate with everyone.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, it will be nice. The word of the movie is transformation.
Transformation.
Because Nicolas Cage is pretty jacked in this film.
Yeah, there was a point where I said this out loud, like, wait a minute. This isn't what he normally looks like, right? He is like perfectly jacked. He looks like a G.I. Joe doll.
Yes. I mean, he's playing a special forces what's the term? Special forces fighter, man.
Yeah, that must be it.
And he looks like a superhero. Like he's got like Dwight Howard delts. Like his shoulders are huge. He's just really buff, and he's not known for that. Like,
yeah, I asked you, wait a minute, was he buff in The Rock? Like, I don't watch a whole lot of Nicolas Cage movies, but I realized, like, wait a minute, this is not what he normally looks like. This is a special thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I don't find him attractive.
Oh, you come on.
But I was very conflicted because
yeah,
I was like, look at this bod.
It
but then,
great.
Like, from the neck up, it's not for me. So it was very, very confusing.
Makes total fucking sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't speak to the attractiveness level, but I'm an earnest fan of Nicolas Cage.
Yes, you are.
I unironically enjoy him, just like I unironically enjoy Guy Fieri and Michael McDonald. Unironic. I love them for who they are. I just wanted to be on the record saying that. But we take it for granted now in this post Hugh Jackman Wolverine world.
Yeah.
But he looks incredible, Nicolas Cage, in this film. He looks like Chris Evans in Winter Soldier almost.
Yes.
Like peak superhero physique.
The perfect superhero body.
Yeah. And so it got me to wondering, was there ever a body transformation in cinema quite like this before, and I wasn't able to find one. I think this is like the first of its kind action movie body transformation that we now take for granted. Like every week there's a Chris Pratt style body transformation happening now.
Yeah. Because before this we were thinking of like, well, obviously Arnold action movies, but he's always been buff. The point is someone who maybe it was just kind of an average dude, average size, whatever you want to, whatever average is.
Yes.
And then being like kind of chiseled.
Yeah. Someone you don't associate with the height of fitness.
Right.
Just really shocking you with his appearance on screen or her. So I took a look at action movies in the years leading up to this. And, you know, you mentioned Arnold. He's been jacked since the 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrific, right? So, you know, I'm in heaven.
I didn't see a movie that made me think, oh yeah, this actor chiseled his body into perfection.
Mm-hmm.
We all had an idea what this person looked like and he changed it completely for this role. I did not see anything like that. And I think that's notable because it's the first of its kind and we take it for granted today. I just think it's interesting.
Here, that's interesting. Of course, it's gibberish, but it's interesting nonetheless.
And Nick Cage transformed his character in other ways too. He added the Southern accent.
He sure does love him.
That's another thing that's so confusing to me. It's like I'm listening to the Southern accent that sounds like someone from a movie in the 50s or something.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got like his face and hair. It's not for me. It's not what I find attractive. But then you've got this like crazy fit body. It wasn't adding up to me. It was like, these are like three separate pieces.
Yeah, there's some cognitive dissonance there. Yeah. Like, he should register as a hunk.
That's his face.
That's his face. But yeah, he added the Southern accent to give the character of, what is it, Cameron Poe? Yeah, to give Cameron Poe an air of chivalry.
Oh, okay.
Because he's defending that woman from being raped by Johnny 23, which is kind of gross. Kind of. Ugh. He suggested making Cameron a member of Special Forces so it would be believable when he accidentally killed someone.
Oh, well. Okay.
So we had some improvements. I don't know that the Southern accent was one. It's memorable.
Yeah.
School is very important.
I agree.
Kids, school is very important.
Can you think of a movie pre-1997 in which an actor drastically improved his or her physique?
It's not even close.
Physique.
For a role like this? I'm not drinking on this one. I don't know what's happening.
Marvin Clones.
If you can think of an actor who changed their physique for a role, send us an email, crueltorewind@gmail.com, or call us at 929-456-0304. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Because, again, my research wasn't the most in-depth, so maybe you can think of something. But that got us to thinking.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever undergone a body transformation? Because I actually have. And we'll get into that. And if you haven't undergone a body transformation, you know, maybe just talk about when you were in the best shape of your life.
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
Oh, yeah, I'm the only one here, so you're obviously asking me.
I mean, I'm talking to the listener as well, but they cannot, we can't hear them when they respond out loud.
Right. Okay. Yeah, this was interesting. I haven't really gone through a transformation, I would say, but I was thinking about, like, the best shape and the worst shape. It kind of made me laugh, but I think the biggest transformation, if you want to call it that, was I did gymnastics for a year when I was a freshman in high school.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Because I was doing dance, and I could do a few, you know, I could do like a backbend thing and cartwheels and stuff. So my friends were doing gymnastics, so I was like, oh yeah, I'll do it too. And you didn't have to try out. You could just like be on the team. So that was like right up my alley.
Wow.
Wow.
But I think when I think if you looked at me, I probably looked about the same, but I got experience doing stuff on all four of the things, the bars, the beam, the vault, and floor, the four main gymnastic things.
Yeah.
The vault. I tried to warn you. Those creatures, the vault. I tried.
But just thinking about like the upper body strength, I had to do, I think my best thing was the uneven bars and thinking about the stuff. Yeah.
You did this?
Thinking about the stuff I did. I mean, it was the basic, most basic level of bar routine you can do. But I was able to do it. And I was just thinking about how much upper body strength I developed in that year to do this stuff. I don't think you could tell like from the outside, but I could do stuff. When I think about it, I'm like, I've never been able to do anything like that again from that. I mean, I never will. I'm never going to like go figure out how to get that strong again. But I was just like, I was strong.
Oh, to be young.
Yeah, I know. Oh, to be 14.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, functional strength isn't always visible.
Right. Like
you can be strong and it doesn't register visually always.
It was just really cool to think about.
It's very cool to think about. I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I only did it a year, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But when you were talking about transformations,
that's like, awesome. Well,
I think I got pretty strong.
But it only lasted a year, and that's good because that's how you establish a cult.
Yeah, you could have been
to do that stuff.
You could have been a little Black Widow flipping around and killing fools.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Now,
with the right training,
the worst shape, which I don't think.
Yeah, what's the worst?
The worst shape.
I didn't think of that.
So, again, this is a type of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Was just in college.
Yeah.
No surprise. It, you know, I just puffed up real nice. Like, pff, pff, pff.
Like a bicycle pump?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
College is so weird because you're growing up. So, like, you kind of lose your... You feel like you've already lost all your baby fat. And, like, in your physique and stuff, but then when you look back at pictures, you're like, it kind of looks like baby fat, but it's like, no, that's just
sodium.
It's just all the salt that you eat and drink.
Eating it, you know, shout out to Mena's Joint in East Lansing. I don't know if that's still there.
But Dubs. Giorgio's.
Pokey Sticks. What is that? Gumby's Pizza. Yeah.
And, you know,
Pizza House.
Cheap beer.
Yeah, so much cheap beer.
But yeah, so that was a different type of transformation.
Beer,
a puffy transformation.
Honestly, mostly corn, I'll bet. There's pictures of us. We're young and svelte in the midsection, but our faces are just oval. I don't know. Extra oval. They've got like a safety airbag around the edge of our face. It's just so much salt. And that's well after college.
Like, I think I kind of have a longer face, but, like, in college, it was just more round because it went out on the sides more.
Yeah. Because we got together, I was in my late 20s when we first got together. I was still probably eating mostly shitty and just, I was exercising, but eating all that
salt.
Yeah,
so was I. Yeah, I kept a pretty routine exercise regimen.
Yeah.
Because you had access to like nice gyms and stuff at school, or our apartment complexes always had workout areas and stuff. Yeah. So I feel like I worked out regularly, but
yeah,
that doesn't make up for those 2 a.m. dubs.
It doesn't.
What about you, Jeff?
Well, I
Wait. Are you going to introduce the listeners to our dear friend?
I am. A very special friend.
Awesome.
I think of him as like a different persona. Like how the Incredible Hulk in the comic books has different forms and personalities. Like, this is a different character in my life. I'm going to introduce you, dear listener, to my friend, Burger Jeff.
It's a great nickname.
So back in my 20s, for a brief period, I had a completely different persona, like I said. I call this facet of my personality Burger Jeff because I was eating fast food every night. I was taking antidepressants, which pack on the pounds they can. Yeah. I was feeling trapped in a very toxic relationship.
Boo.
I was trying to look sexy in an East Lansing cover band.
Sexy?
Yeah.
In East Lansing?
Yeah. You'll see what I'm... There's a point to that comment.
I am your burger man.
Because we did a photo shoot for this band, and I just didn't realize how huge I had become. I'm sorry if this is triggering or offensive to anyone, but I'm taking stabs at myself. I'm not a big guy. I'm 5'10". I think I peaked at like 240. I looked like I was wearing a fat suit. I looked like January Jones in Mad Men.
When they put, January Jones or Monica in fat suits, but then like their hands are still the same size as like their tiny skinny bodies, and it like doesn't add up.
Right. So I bring up the looking sexy because, again, East Lansing cover band, we're trying to get gigs, trying to book weddings, and I didn't realize how huge I was, and we were trying to dress cool. And this photographer was real corny. He was like, look at the camera. Give me smoldering. All right, hold your guitar like this.
Was it like a life touch?
Kind of.
Okay.
I had a goatee as well, just to add insult to injury. And I'm staring down the barrel of this professional-grade camera, just trying to give it the smolder. Mm-hmm. And the result is a fella we have come to lovingly know as Burger Jeff. And we will share that photo. It circulated a lot among the band members. Like, they would poke fun quite a bit, which I didn't always appreciate. But when you're eating Wendy's every night to take your mind off your horrible relationship, and you're taking antidepressants, and you're numbed out, you don't realize how huge you're becoming, Burger Jeff is the inevitable result. I need a break. I gotta take a walk around the block. Just a minute, I'll be right back.
You know, Wendy's Super Bar is great for families because there's something for everyone. Like our fresh salads from our garden spot, Mexican food, including do-it-yourself tacos, and delicious pasta with your choice of sauce. There's even dessert. And you can come back as often as you like. As often as you like.
As often as you like.
Race.
Eventually, the New Deal got booked on cruise ships, thank God, because it kind of yanked me out of the doldrums. I mean, the toxic relationship ended. Praise Jesus.
Yay! Awesome!
It is awesome. And so we went away on the cruise ship, and I started doing CrossFit-style exercises with Spicy Pete, who was the guitarist.
Spicy Pete!
And our pal, Stephen Cadillac.
Hey.
Who, is now working for... He's a brilliant cinematographer. He did work on Thor, Love and Thunder. We're going to try to talk to him. So when I came back from the cruise ship, or that first contract, nobody recognized me. They was like, whoa, hey, who's this guy?
Was that your Nick Cage moment?
That was my Nick Cage moment. I didn't have the long stringy hair, but I could have. If I grew it out.
Yeah.
Like, there's a picture of me and my brother sitting next to each other at my birthday dinner, and it's just like, cut.
Ugh.
I love it. 27 was a good year.
This is such an interesting story to me because I didn't know you until after your Nick Cage moment. So when you talk about it, when I see pictures, it looks like you put on a fat suit. Like, I can't believe that it's real.
It's a different
guy. It's not just like a made-up story.
You met me at my apex. Like, you saw me performing at a high level on stage. Like, it was the best possible context to meet me in. Like, you saw me putting it down on stage.
Yeah.
And I wasn't 300 pounds. And that's great. So that's Burger Jeff. He loved his Wendy's.
Cheeseburger first.
He had a cheesy looking Starsky and Hutch colored guitar. You'll see in the photo that I share on social media.
I mean, take all those things out and you could have just said, this is Burger Jeff and he's got a goatee and he's me with a goatee. I would have been like, whoa, that's crazy. That's hilarious. But then you just add in all these other elements. All these details.
He's a different character.
Get on with it!
But back to the movie.
Yeah, back to the movie. Is Dave Chappelle the best actor in this film?
You're goddamn right, I said it.
I am so glad that you didn't, like, bring that up beforehand.
I didn't remember.
I think in the year... I know I've heard that he was in this movie, just hearing facts about him throughout the years. I was like, oh, really? An action movie? But... completely separated it, forgot about that fact. So when he shows up, it was kind of the highlight for me because he's so good.
He's so good. He improvised his lines, I believe, many of them.
Oh, really?
And he just has a naturalistic feel to his performance.
Yeah.
It's grounded in reality. He's not marching straight to his mark, planting his feet, mugging for the camera. But because he doesn't do that, he flies under the radar. He's just talking like a normal guy to everyone. And then he, unfortunately, passes away. We're going to share that again because it's too funny not to.
It's an amazing death scene.
The dummy they create for Dave Chappelle's dead body is disturbing and also one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
And I want to know who owns that dummy now. Who has this Dave Chappelle dummy? Where is it? How can it be used in something again? I want to know.
I'd like to think that Neil Brennan has it on display somewhere in a glass case. Yes. John Cusack very much regrets doing this film.
Why?
I read an interview with him that this is the kind of stuff he would sign on and do and just grin and bear it so he could do artsy... arts and forts and crafts kind of movies. Like he would show up and be professional, and I thought he was great in this movie.
Calm down, Vince. Just a little ruckus and the pilot hit the alarm.
Just a little ruckus?
Funny. I love John Cusack.
Just a little ruckus? His real regret should be the shoes he's wearing. I don't know.
The socks and the
Jesus combo. Sandals.
Yeah. It was...
Without socks, it's worse. Either way you slice it, it's bad.
Yeah.
And they go out of their way to show the shoes.
A lot.
As you would have seen if you followed our stories.
And yeah, it's like Instagram. If he would have had, because he's wearing a light suit, so if he would have had regular shoes on, you'd still see the white socks.
Yeah.
Or you take the socks off and it's just the sandals, that's gross. Or you have the socks and sandals, which is bad. Yeah, all of it is a bad situation. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Good about it.
Visually, it's treated as a joke, but judging by his character, I don't understand why he would be wearing those shoes. I just didn't get it.
Because he's part of the FBI?
DEA?
Oh, yeah, DEA.
Is that right?
And he's wearing like a tan linen suit.
Yeah, he's very Southern gentleman.
Yeah.
But he's not the Southern gentleman.
It doesn't make any sense.
What's going on here?
Are you crazy yet?
Yeah, it did not make any sense, but I do love him, and I always enjoy John Cusack.
I don't understand what's happening.
Take the fucking wax out of your ear!
All right. I thought it's funny, like, they had Ving Rhames tell John Malkovich he's the man. I'm just like, it was probably really important to the filmmakers to have a cool black guy call a white guy the man. I don't know. That's apropos of nothing. We have one of the coolest black guys on earth. Let's have him tell the white guy he's the man. I don't know.
You're the man now, dog.
Yeah, Malkovich makes a really, really good villain, and he's got this like coolness but creepiness that comes together. I'm not sure what word I'm thinking of, but
you can see the gears turning mentally at all times. He just,
because they said in the, I think in the description, you said that he's like a mastermind.
Yeah, he's a genius,
and you can tell.
Yeah,
with how creepy the mastermind coming together with like the creepiness of a convict comes together very perfectly. He does it.
Yes, he's a genius who happens to be murderous, and he hits those big popcorn movie jokes with, you know, masterfully. He does it masterfully.
Oh, stewardess, what's the in-flight movie today?
Love it. Yeah, love it.
I liked him in that.
I really like Danny Trejo, and I don't like that they made him this crazy rapist. It's just such a casual reference to rape.
Yeah. Like, that's really,
we have to enjoy watching this antagonist. Like, he's part of the movie.
Yeah.
I know you're setting up stakes, but it's like, what if Thanos had a rap sheet that included multiple rapes? Like, turn the movie off.
Disney wouldn't have it.
I don't know. I don't know what the takeaway is there, but it just seemed like such a casual reference to rape, and it grossed me out.
Yeah.
I mean, what can be said? The action sequence when Cameron is like running through a series of expertly timed explosions.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Everything's practical. Explosions are really going off feet away from Nicolas Cage's head. It's it's insane.
There's certain times where the action sequences start to make me sleepy and tired.
Yes, 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 yes.
But
White Noise.
White Noise. Thank you. This somehow hit the balance of not being... I don't know if it was just because there was time in between them. There was good, funny dialogue.
Yep.
I don't know. But it was way better than like a Transformers.
Yeah, practical effects kind of snap you into attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had the benefit of filming a casino that was actually being demolished. Like when the plane cuts through the Hard Rock sign. That's real.
Yeah.
And they blew up the front of a casino that was going to get demolished anyway. It's beautiful. Like, it's great that they captured that on real film. It's amazing to me.
I'm learning a lot about, I think, cinematography and directing, this show, because I always think like, oh, it's too much action, it's just boring, it's white noise. But then you watch an action movie where you are interested and it isn't white noise, and I'm like, oh, it's because the special effects are better, it's because they're using, I don't know, someone's filming it a different way. I'm starting to put those things together, not just like, oh, it's too much action or not enough action or whatever. Like, it's starting to make a little bit more sense. Like, oh, these different pieces come together in a way where it is engaging and interesting.
Yeah.
And you want to watch it.
Yes. I'm with you. That's part of the reason I'd like to have our friend Steve on, just because he could tell us a little bit about the filmmaking process, analyze shots, tell us what's going on.
Yeah.
So we'll try to make that happen. And I'm with you on that. I feel like our shared knowledge is growing.
I'm learning so much.
Yes. And the way we talk about movies, I think, is more credible now as we go.
Well, I don't know.
The credits, they're full on Predator style. Every star gets a chance to smile at the camera, wink, give a thumbs up. I love it.
Even the rapist?
Even the rapist.
I had another thought about the very beginning of the movie when they're getting everyone onto the plane.
Yeah. What's that?
It kind of reminded me of, you know, when you're choosing your fighter in a video game, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And the characters are just about as deep as, you know, the original Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Sub-Zero's a ninja who shoots ice. Well, we got Steve Buscemi is a serial killer who isn't a bad guy because he didn't kill that one girl. He's fine. He's fine now. He's cured. Speaking of him,
define irony. Bunch of idiots dancing on a plane to a song made famous by a band that died in a plane crash.
But yeah, the credits, I love the way it ends. Going back to Roger Ebert, he actually mentioned that in his review.
Yeah.
He writes, in a film filled with strange people and bizarre events, here is the strangest and most bizarre, the closing credits, played over Sweet Home Alabama, including a montage of all the major characters, smiling, yes, smiling, Cyrus the Virus and Johnny 23 and all the rest, looking like nice guys in a fast food ad. Apparently, the strategy is to leave the audience on an upbeat note. That would require a very short attention span on the part of the audience. But this may be just the movie to assemble that audience. Well said. Well spoken, sir. I think we can end there. I mean, there's some drops I didn't get the chance to
play. Put the bunny back in the box.
I think it's really important that we play these.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
Just to do the film justice and know that we did our best.
Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
That's it.
Bunny.
I think we'll end there. I think we nailed it. So there's just one question that I have for you,
mm-hmm.
Queen Bees. We've had a great time. We've laughed. We've loved. We've revealed Burger Jeff to our audience. But what I really want to know is...
Yes?
Are you going to go my way? Just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus, this is stupid.
What I really want to know is... Would Con Air from 1997, starring Nicolas Cage, be cool or cruel to rewind?
Well, I was a little concerned during the first 10 minutes of the movie and thought, oh no,
mm-hmm.
Here we go. But yep. You know what? Con Air is pretty cool.
Whoa! Honey, I'm so happy!
It's really fun that I'm watching all these old action movies. There's some I don't really like, and there's some that I do like for different reasons, and I think I'm just kind of finding out how people and directors and stuff can make a good action movie.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see the difference, and I really enjoyed it.
I'm surprised.
I thought it was fun.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
I thought it was a fun action movie.
It was. You want that large popcorn on your lap.
Yeah.
Just going to town while...
Some peanut M&Ms.
Yeah.
Reese's Pieces, popcorn.
Yeah. During all the roundhouse kicks and exploding casinos. Yeah.
I had fun watching it.
That's fantastic. I'm so happy. I'm so pleased. What do you think? How do you feel about this movie, dear listener? We want to know. Send us an email at cruel2rewind, and again, that's the number 2 instead of T-O, cruel2rewind@gmail.com. Leave us a message at
929-456-0304.
And please rate us wherever you can rate us. It helps and it proves we exist. Rate us on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else a rating system exists. Comment below if you like and subscribe.
And follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @CruelToRewind. And check out our website, CruelToRewind.com, because you can get a link to our store where there's all the fun shirts. If you follow us on Instagram, you may have seen Jeff looking real nice and fine in his Somebody Put a Hamburger in My Bed shirt, available for purchase.
Somebody put a hamburger in my bed.
And I got another compliment.
Yeah.
People have no idea what this means.
I think because you're wearing a shirt and then in bright pink letters it says hamburger across.
Yeah.
I think that's what draws people in. And you know what? I'm going to pat myself on the back for this color choice.
You should.
Because it gets people's attention and they don't know what they're looking at, but they like it. So.
You nailed it. And
buyers today.
But, and we've got, the merch we're working on now is going to blow your minds. That's all I'm going to say. Go to LinkedIn, check out my latest productivity thought leadership piece, microdose your way to perfect PowerPoints. Ring the bell below, comment, subscribe below for all our likes and subscribe. Shout outs. I want to give a shout out to the great and powerful Mark Berry. We were bandmates in the New Deal, and we were classmates in the Michigan State Jazz Department.
Jazz.
Mark got married this last weekend.
Yay!
Yes. And
awesome!
We love Mark. Now he's drumming with Lord Huron, just touring the country, and he's becoming a great producer in his own right in the studio.
What a story, Mark.
Yeah, you can say that again.
And we love Allie, his wife. Now his wife. Wow.
Now his wife.
They're a great couple. We knew as soon as we met Allie that this one's going to stick around, I think. So God bless you both. And thanks again to Superfan Will for having me on his podcast. We lost a good one. Go and check that out. Will! It's fun.
Can we stop talking about you now and talk about me?
Yes, please.
Next week, it's my turn to share a movie.
My turn.
I'm so excited to share a film that just hit its 20th anniversary. We're going back to the early 2000s and watching The Princess Diaries starring Anne Hathaway and Julie Andrews.
Yes. Fantastic. Looking forward to it. It's going to be great. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to take your vitamins, make a new friend.
Put the bunny in the box.
Put the bunny in the box.
Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
Don't let it get that far where Cameron Poe has to ask you why you didn't do it. Make a new friend, work out twice a day.
Sean Conn
was star. Don't let anybody put a hamburger in your bed. Stay cruel out there.
And happy rewinding.
We're going to do something a little different. We're going to play you out. We're going to serenade you with that sweet, sweet sax with the best song ever written. How do I live? Good night.
And good luck.
God bless. Good luck. Take care.
Bye.
Have fun.
It turns out it fucking sucks!